And just before we come into a time of worship, I just want to read out a simple verse, and it's found in Psalm 104. I say a verse, four verses. Psalm 104, and it reads this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Are we here to bless the Lord? There's a couple of us that are. Are we here to bless the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord, all my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. Do we have a great God?
Yes.
A God who works in our lives. A God who heals. A God who saves. A God who delivers. Yes?
Yes.
Amen. You're still with me. He's a great, great God. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among all the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Are we rejoicing? And the final one is this. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. We're here tonight to seek his presence, to seek all that he has for each and every single one of us. And so as we come into a time of worship, let us seek the living God. Let us not stand on our religion or on our traditions or on our morals. Let us reach out to the God who is reaching to each and every single one of us. Dear Lord, as we come to worship you tonight, Lord, I pray, God, that we worship you with open hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll settle each of our hearts. I pray if there's worries going on, I pray if there's distractions going on. Lord, I just pray right now in this stillness that you will just clear it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will descend into each of our hearts, that you will speak to each of us, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that as we worship you, Lord, that we will seek your presence, not just for a Sunday, but to seek your presence daily. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done in our life. And God, as we come to worship you, let us know of all that you have done for us. And may we worship you and praise you with all that we have for you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Trust in his grace.
You can all take your seats. Just before we get the team up, I'm sure we're all excited to hear all that had happened in Uganda. And just before they come up, we're just going to spend some time in prayer. We're just going to pray for each and every single one of them. Going to encourage them with confidence. Are we ready to pray for them, church? Some of us are ready to pray for them. We're ready to pray for them. Yes, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you, God, for a church who sends people to bless others in your name. God, we pray as a church that each and every single one of us would be a missionary where you have planted us. Lord, we think of our jobs, we think of the places where we work, we think of the places where we go. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would use each and every single one of us as a missionary in that field to proclaim your good news. But Lord, as we have people coming up from the mission that they had in Uganda, Lord, may they encourage all of us tonight. Lord, may we be pierced by the stories that are being told. May we be encouraged by the stories that are being told, and may we see the work of God in the lives of those who didn't know him before. So Holy Spirit, may you come upon each and every person who comes up here to speak tonight, and may you bless each and every single one of them. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we give a round of applause as some of them make their way up.
Well, good evening, everyone. This evening, I'm sharing about the first 2 days of our trip. We had 2 days of traveling to get to Uganda, and then, so this is the first day of ministry, of serving. So the first 2 days of our trip was spent at Victory Church in Wakiso. This was about a 20-minute drive away from our accommodation, and this is a church which is led by Pastor Paul, and he's supported by his wife, Teddy. Pastor Paul is a very genuine man with a good heart, and I personally found such a blessing in the 2 days we were at his church. Pastor Trevor and Esther has visited this church last year whenever they were out in Uganda, and the picture which you can see up on the screen was taken last year, and this shows the outside of the church. The church had no doors, windows, and it wasn't plastered either. And then the next slide through, this picture shows what the inside of the church looked like last year, so it was very empty and very bare, so it was. And then skipping on to the next picture, this shows the church whenever we were out in July. Due to your kind generosity, we were able to support the church financially to be able to install a stage at the front, which you can see by the photo, you could hardly recognize the church. And we also gave money to the church so that it could be plastered and painted, which really helped bring it into life. The next photo then, this shows some of the windows and the doors, which was put all around the building, and it was also installed as a result of all your generosity. The church had got a makeover from top to bottom, and it also got enough money to be able to put on a new roof. But while we were out as a team, we agreed for the church to give money to the church to put in a new floor. The floor in the church whenever we were out was a mud floor, which wasn't very practical, especially for these ladies maybe wearing high heels. But thankfully my feet was okay. Since we've been out, the floor has been put down, which again has made a massive difference to the church. So there's been quite a lot of improvements made to the building itself. We can skip the next picture. Each of the team had the opportunity in this church to share, which pushed us out of our comfort zones, but we soon realised that God had equipped us for the mission that he had called us to, as well as lots of very sketchy dancing, which I'm sure you have seen the videos of. A lot of the team shared testimony of what God had done in their life, with some of the team sharing their testimony for the first time. And this was a time of great spiritual blessing, even whenever many of the team felt moved as the Lord drew near. There was times when the team members just broke into tears as God was ministering into the hearts. We had the great privilege of seeing lives given to the Lord at the end of the second day after Pastor Trevor preached a very powerful message from Job. There's a great anointing in the preaching and a freedom which I couldn't describe. It was an atmosphere that we couldn't create. It was just only God. One of the people who responded to the gospel was a young lady who had heard both Jody and Shelley's testimonies, and she thought that sickness and suffering wasn't in the UK, that our lives over here was perfect, and that they were neglected in Uganda. There was also a move of God at the end of the second day when Pastor Trevor gave the opportunity if anyone wanted prayer, which many people responded to and was prayed for. We then had the opportunity to split into breakout groups with the church to be able to get speaking to people in a closer way. Pastor Trevor, along with Andrew, took the men from the church and had a very blessed time with them. Esther, along with Janice and Shelley, took the ladies for a question and answer session, which I believe is quite difficult work as the ladies had very tricky questions and topics to discuss. And then the next picture through. Judith and her team took the children to do children's clubs with them, which was a fantastic success. One of the main things done in the clubs was the wordless book, which Gavin gave to each of us before we went out, and they were a really great help. This photo is of a young boy called Asher, who was one of the children at the club. And I have a video of Asher, but the sound's not very good on it. And he was after 2 days at the club, he was able to go through the wee book and explain the gospel to me from start to finish. He knew it all inside out. And then our next picture. I had the opportunity to be part of the group, which was led by Joel, which took the youth of the church for a session. There was just over 50 teenagers in this group, and this was a great opportunity to share the gospel while also having plenty of laughs as we faced their question and answering session. This is where Jody had the opportunity to share her testimony. Joel and I both shared a short word. Catherine led them in a short time of worship, and Timmy prayed with the group. The young man in the middle in the light blue t-shirt is called Emma, which is short for Emmanuel, and he's 21 years old, and he's the youth leader for all these people. He's really greatly respected by all the young people and is a great burden himself for the Lord. So please do keep him in prayer as he carries the burden and the task of discipling these teenagers. The 2 days at this church was a great time of spiritual blessing, and I thank the Lord for the time we had with these people. Memories we'll never forget in a lifetime.
After Pastor Paul's church, we headed to Mother Day Junior School, also known as Julius's School. The time we spent here was emotional, eye-opening, and moving. I can only speak for myself, but the school certainly stole my heart. We went to the school to show God's love and to bring a little hope to a community with little. From this first photo, you will see Julius, the man in the check shirt, and on the other side of the screen is his wife, Betty, and son, Trevor. Julius is a man with such a love for his job and the school community, a man who strives to live out his testimony. Pray for Julius and his family that God would continue to use and protect them. In the next picture, you will see some of Julius's teaching team and others who help in the school. The man in the middle in the pinky red top, I'll talk more about in a few minutes, but his name's George, and he was the music teacher. Every member of staff within the school were so enthusiastic about their work, and the care that they had for these children was just matchless. We were due to go to the school on the Tuesday morning, but as we gathered, the rain was heavy, and we were told that the bus wouldn't travel the muddy roads. So we prayed and waited a few hours, and then we were on our way. This just shows that Ugandans don't really keep to timekeeping because it's the weather that predicts what happens. From this picture, this next one, Yeah, you'll see some of the school children. We were greeted with such love and warmth, lots of hugs, singing and dancing. The children put on a programme led by their music teacher, George. They danced with so much enthusiasm and rhythm, not like us lot. George was always smiling and was so happy to be doing a job which he loved. The children acted out stories from the Bible, which were incredible and touching. One little girl in particular really moved us. We shared our programme with the children, teachers and mothers of the community. The time with the school was very special and we really felt God's presence. We shared with them our favourite choruses, such as Our God is a Great Big God. I shared the story of the little red hen protecting her chicks, just like how Jesus protects us if we trust in him as our saviour. Pastor Trevor shared the father's love from the story of the prodigal son. God was working and moving among the hearts of these people. We know of at least 48 individuals who professed salvation during our 2 days at the school, one of these being George, the music teacher. We give God the praise and glory for each of these lives. As I looked around, Julius was in the corner dancing, and it just made me think, if he was celebrating these lives, imagine the angels of heaven. This was a time of blessing for the school, the community, and for our team. From the donations and money raised, we spent money in various ways within the school. The kids all received school packs, and you can see them here. These contained a folder, pencil case with stationery, an exercise book, and a sponsor teddy with personalised messages. From the image, you can see the joy in their faces. They were so thankful for what they had received. Every teacher also received a school pack with a money gift too. We provided a barbecue for the kids and the staff within the school. Everyone received a little tin container which contained their lunch. It's not very clear from the picture, but yeah. Everybody was so thankful for the food that they had been provided with. The other side of this image shows little school desks. When we see in their classrooms, they stand in little classrooms all day, and it's not very pleasant to stand at school. So we have provided them with these little desks, which they've since received. A feeding programme was provided for the families within the school. From the image, it just looks like cardboard boxes and bags. This contained maize and other ingredients. Around 250 families received a food pack, and this was roughly enough food to feed them for a week. God was with us and working in an incredible way throughout the time we spent at the school. Our programme was outside both days. The Tuesday we were complaining in the afternoon it was too hot, and the Wednesday morning the wind was blowing, the sky was dark and cloudy. Several of us began to pray that the rain wouldn't come. The teachers started to pack away bits and pieces because they know what Ugandan rain's like. But God answered our prayer. Nothing is impossible with our God. The rain stayed away. This is a school built on the basis of God's word. As we settle back into life again here at home, we don't forget about these children. The school is currently situated on a rented property. We pray that God would guide and direct the next steps for Mother Day Junior School. Talks are currently ongoing about potentially buying the land which surrounds the school. Money had been left aside for this project. However, negotiations are still ongoing. We would ask that you would pray for this situation. We believe that God has something more for this school. Pray that they would continue to be taught the gospel and the love of Christ. With the money raised, we were able to show the love in a practical way. But it was only with God's grace we were able to show the love of Christ through our words and actions. God was with us through it all.
Well, after the school, we went to Joyce's. Now, this isn't unfamiliar to you because many of you know about Joyce. We sponsored her last year and the children, and you have been praying for Joyce since then. And this year we were able to meet with the family again. This is the whole family. The next slide shows Simon. Simon's not in that photograph. Joyce has got four deaf children, or four blind children. And Simon is not only blind, but he's also profoundly disabled and handicapped in many, many ways. So Simon hasn't been able to go to school, but this year we were able to pay for the three hearing children, and they have been paid, the two girls have been paid right up until Christmas 2026, and Paul has been paid up until Christmas 25. But we have pledged that when Paul moves school at Christmas that we will pay right up to Christmas 2026 for him as well. These children were used to being sent home from school on a weekly basis because their fees weren't paid. The girls used to have to go down to the market to try to pick up a little bit of work. So they have been rejoicing in the fact that they no longer have to do that, and they know that their school placement is secure for the next year. Joyce put on some food for us, and we had some fruits that we've never had before. And Gift is in the next picture, I think. Yes, this is Gift. Gift had a real desire to start a small business, and she wanted to make tea and sell the tea around the markets and different places. So we were able to bring Gift out one of those flasks that keeps the tea hot and that pumps the tea. And we also brought her a flask so she could put our milk in it to keep the milk cold. Now, we're not 100% sure whether she's got our wee business up and running, because now she's at school full time, it's probably not just as easy for her. But we were able to give all the children some money gifts, and we also give her mum some money as well to feed the children for a number of weeks. Now, Gift was told as a very young child that she had a hernia and that she needed an operation, and she had been suffering quite a bit with this. So they brought this to our attention, and we decided that we would pay for Gift's, well, not us, but that the church would pay for Gift's operation. But before they would do the operation, they said they had to scan her again. So we paid for her to go for a scan, and the result of the scan was that there was no hernia. And we give God the glory for that. Some people think it was never there in the first place, but I believe that God touched her and that God healed her. And that's what I'm holding on to. So we're very thankful that Gift didn't have to go for her operation. But we did ask Joyce, was there something we could do for her on a long-term basis that would help her make a little income to feed her family? Even though Joyce has a husband, he went off and he married another woman and he has another family. And to be honest with you, I know Ben's here, but he does seem to care more about his other family than he does this family, because he doesn't provide for them in any way at all. And we asked Joyce, was there anything we could do for her? There was a few things talked about. And then I think it was Ben come up with the idea, what about a water project? If we got a well bored, because there doesn't be no water in these villages, that Joyce would be able to sell water to the rest of the villagers. So that's what we did. We left money and they started the water project, and this is them boring the well. It was very interesting because they started off with hand tools. I thought they're never going to get it done, but then they did eventually bring in a drill. And they eventually got the water, and this is the water tank, and Joyce is able now to sell water to the villagers. But on the day that they struck water, which is a little slide, I'm just going to let you watch it. Is there no sound on that? All the villagers brought their containers, and they all received free water. So the water was given out freely to all the villagers that day. There was containers after containers being filled. So we give God the praise and the glory for what he is doing. But you know, Joyce's situation is ongoing. It's not something that we can start and then just finish. We have an interest in seeing her children educated. They have an interest in education. Moses rang me there recently. Moses is one of the blind chaps, and he was so thankful for what we have been doing for his family. And I couldn't get over Moses' English. He actually speaks better English than I do. He was very sorry he didn't see the team, but he's looking forward to seeing the team the next time they go out. And he is brilliant at music. He was telling me all the instruments that he plays. So I said to him, maybe you'll play a wee bit for us the next time we go out. So Moses and his brother and his sister, they go to a school. They won scholarships for that. So they are in boarding school. But when they come home, they have realized just what the team has been able to do to help their family. So continue to pray for Joyce. Take her on your heart. Remember that there's a great need in that family. And to be honest with you, she would give you everything she has, but she has got absolutely nothing. And I think the team would agree with me. Everybody was very, very moved when we were in Joyce's home.
Judith and the cow. This is Moses, the Moses that we got to know as a team. Moses is a history teacher at New King David's School, secondary school, and his mother is one of the pastors in his church. We met up with Moses in Wakiso, so on our way to Kampala, we stopped at Moses' school to meet some of the students from his school and to meet after who meet after classes for Scripture Union. Isn't it great, Scripture Union, not just here in our schools, but across the world? They were enthusiastic to show us around their school compound, as you can see. Despite the beautiful, well-kept grounds, we were surprised when we went and looked into the classrooms at the lack of equipment. Bare walls, and just benches around the side in the science room, no equipment, and very little facilities in this a boarding school. So we made our way down to the room where the kids were all waiting for us. Between 40 and 50 students of various ages were waiting to give us, as usual, a very warm welcome, which included, as expected, plays, skits, and songs. Timmy Hill and Esther then gave their testimonies and spoke, and then Pastor got up to give a word, a very challenging message on surrendering all to God and going deeper with him. There was great listening that day, and following, whenever we prayed and invited people up for prayer, many of them came forwards. And as you could see from that other photograph, there were ones there, had their Bibles out and making notes. 14 students responded in all to come to faith, some for to come to faith for the first time, others wanting to surrender their all to Christ in a deeper way. Two Muslim girls, as you can see from the picture, also came forward. We got an opportunity to pray with these young people afterwards in the room, and even after the meeting, when people were milling about and chatting, small groups gathered to be ministered to by our team members. It was a very humbling experience and so reassuring to see a school where the Bible is taught, responded to, and God's name glorified. We pray for their Christian teachers and the witness these but new believers continue to have. Moses reports that they are all growing in Christ. Straight after this visit, then, Moses invited us round to his family farm, where he was excited to show us the new cow. Shortly before we left for Uganda, word had come through that Moses' cow had died. So, along with a single donation, topped up by the funds which we had raised, a cow was purchased, and Moses wanted us to see her. But we got a better insight into his life and this young man and what he had done. Yes, we saw the pigs, the goats, all the plantations, the maize, everything, and we got walking through it. But we were also taken down to the brick pit, which you can see in the middle photograph. And we found that Moses had to build bricks, make bricks to sell, to fund his way through his training to be a teacher. So, students, listen. Nothing there, no money for them. He had to go in, make bricks, and go and sell them so that he could go and train to be a teacher to get his university degree. This young man really did hit our hearts. He had a heart for God, a willingness to take unpaid time off his job to come with us to Kampala and to translate for us. Pastor got the opportunity while we were there to pray with his parents. And now, since July, Moses has reported quite delightedly to Esther that he is now considered a big man in his community. When she asked if it was because of his new cow, he said no, it was because the Mzungus, the whites, had come and visited him. We pray mostly that God will continue to bless him in his ministry, in his job, in the work he does through Scripture Union and everything in the school, but also his family, and also that the cow has a healthy calf, which she is going to have soon. Thank you.
So I was given the task of pulling together a programme sort of to bring the football to bring football and the gospel to the people in the slums. So I wasn't really sure what age range we were going to be working with or how many people there would be. But before going out, I'd sort of tried to put together a bit of a programme for 4 days. But by the time we got there, that had then been changed to two days because the pitch was booked up. And you can probably see in the photos it's not really much of a pitch thicker. Well, not what we would imagine anyway. But we sort of had to just adjust to the Ugandan attitude, which was, it'll work out some way, sure. The first day we arrived with Brian, who was chairman's son, and he's sort of like the local councillor. So he took us to the pitch where a few of us started passing the ball around, and that drew a few people in. And within 10 minutes, then through word of mouth, just about 30 or 40 people had gathered. They were edging from 15 to 30s. So thanks to Balmain United, we had football shirts to give out to everyone. And the first day, they were very thankful to receive them. And they're even more thankful and they realised they got to keep them. We started off by splitting them into two teams, and then we shared testimonies and a word with each of our teams. We then came together and played a match for about an hour. And by the time the hour was up, the ball had landed into the river many times, and it didn't have the same shine that it used to. You maybe see the river, some of them photos. I would say it was probably 40% water, and the rest was made up of rubbish and other foreign matter I'll not get into. But regardless, when the ball went in, there was always someone willing to go and fish it out. We stopped after an hour to give a short word before we headed back up to the clinic to get lunch, and we told them we'd be back later on. When we did arrive back there, there wasn't as many people there because they're used to being promised things and not carried through, so they didn't have much hope. But for the few that did show up, we had the opportunity to pass the ball around and talk one-on-one with the folks. We met a fellow, Raymond, the first day. He worked at a local security business, so he offered us security free of charge. And he knew a lot of the characters around the slums and who to avoid, which was God's hand of protection over us down there. The second day we arrived, there was an almighty rave bus in the middle of the pitch, and it turned out to be a local radio station playing music. So we sort of had to escort them off the pitch. Although Alexander Hamilton, he, being the good salesman he is, he bribed them into blasting My Lighthouse through the massive subwoofers, so we got our gospel out there. We had to move location then across the sturdy bridge. I don't know if that photo's been shown yet, but it definitely wasn't. That's it there. She's a wee bit ropey now, but we arrived, yes, to play football, but it worked out well because it was a tighter space, but this meant it was a lot easier to talk to the people. The second day was a completely different crowd, as there wasn't as many Balmain shirts, and everyone was a lot younger, but it was great and my favourite day personally. We divided them into four teams, and the four leaders of the group shared their testimony with their teams. Ollie had the privilege of leading four young folk to the Lord, which was a huge morale booster for us all, and it made the club worth it. We met a wonderful young man called Bruce, who encouraged us as he told us that he actually got saved when a team like ourselves were passing through a few years back. He watches into our church's services every Sunday, and Bruce shared his testimony with the people. Then we got sodas, or the drinks, whatever you want to call them, and sweets for everyone. And it brought us great satisfaction just seeing the joy that it brought to the children. We also left a few footballs we bought with Brian, who does a lot of work with the kids, and a few with the school, as well as Diane at the clinic. Just want to thank you for all your support and donations. And I know it went to a good place, as well as impacting us all individually.
Thank you. You're having a lot of information to take in. So we, each of us here tonight, are very passionate about the bits that we're telling you about, so we could all talk for an hour. So we're having to cut this well down. While Joel and the team were down in the doing football, and Maddie will be telling you about other work that was going on in the slums, Janice and I mostly were up in the Imani Family Centre, and other people, the rest of the team, did come and go from that as well. We were told before we go we would have a bit of education on that to do, and we had met with Gavin also, who'd helped us and supported us with that. But we found when we got to the Imani Centre that actually they were teaching us, because the way they do the thing over there is very different to how we would do it. But the Imani Family Centre is basically run by Diane Lockhart, who you have met here in church. And Diane runs this centre with a small team of staff, and it provides free maternity care within the slums. So there's midwives, there's a doctor, Frank, who works out the back very quietly, and then also a wee girl at the minute who's working in the lab. So care is given antenatally, so mummies will come while they're pregnant, and they'll get free care. They'll be getting testing for something that's very prevalent over there, which is sexually transmitted infections. So they'll be tested for that and given treatment where it's needed to protect the health of mummy and baby. They'll also have blood typing done, and then mums will come back for delivery of their babies. I'm probably going off track with the slides here, but this is Diane with myself and Janice here. So when mums come to the wee clinic, you saw the wee bed and you saw Diane's wee desk. That's all that she has. When mummies come in to deliver their babies, it's not like over here. And especially, I was present for a birth and so was Janice at times. It can be quite complicated. Over here, you would have a team of professionals, and you would have monitoring, and you would have equipment. But over there, there's basically a bed, the lady in the bed, and Diane, or the midwife that's on at that time. Mummies get very little pain relief. This is actually Linda doing some of the blood testing with the mummies when they come into the antenatal clinic. So how they do things is very, very different. The next slide, please. So this is Elsie. Elsie is one of the midwives, and that's her daughter. So Elsie is sponsored by people in Collibaki here for her wages. You can keep going through the slides. This here, so while Janice and I were helping more practically, there was people in the team giving their testimonies. So what we found was that we could go and offer some practical support, but a big lot of really what helped that clinic is the money that was sent and supporting people in the clinic, and that's ongoing. Also, see the encouragement and support spiritually that people got from the team being there, just spending time with them, speaking to the mummies, sharing testimonies. That's something that won't be forgotten. Keep going there. So I was helping Diane at one stage with one of the deliveries, and this is the wee baby that was born. And I'm all mixed up with my slides because I think I had half a dozen team members holding the baby, because they all got to see a newborn baby. So all the boys and everybody had a chance to nurse this baby. But Esther said, no, 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 you can't have that many slides. But all I was taken with was these babies. So these babies been born in these circumstances is miraculous, with so little support and so little help. But Diane is amazing, and the skills that her midwives have over there is remarkable. So this is Dr. Frank, and Dr. Frank works in a wee room out the back. So people who have health conditions will come to see Dr. Frank. When we were over, Janice had sent over a lot of dressing supplies, and whenever Janice was there was a lot of, mostly gentlemen, some females coming with wounds to be dressed. So Janice had provided a lot of dressings, did a lot of teaching with Dr. Frank around wound care, and Dr. Frank has been continuing to keep that ministry ongoing. There was one man in particular, Tom, and Tom had come from the Massey tribe, and Tom had been treating his wound himself with herbal medicines, but making it worse. So Janice worked alongside Dr. Frank, and Tom was also ministered to, because at that time he was alcoholic, he was out of work, and he was really struggling. The team ministered to Tom, shared the gospel with him. Janice gave her dressing advice, and he has been coming back to see Dr. Frank and has sent a wee video to say that his wound has completely healed. He talks about being completely healed now. He's free of his alcoholism and he's back in work. And that's a result of not only the practical medical care, but also the ministering into these people's lives as the team when we were there. I shared the last time about Junior. So Junior, we had an afternoon with the staff. So money went towards getting a barbecue and having dinner with the staff. And that was lovely. But they never know what's happening in the next 5 minutes. So the police arrived with this young fella, Junior, a 15-year-old boy with a head injury. So he was treated there, and he was also ministered to, and the team prayed with him. But what stands out to me about that is, you know, that young fella had been running the streets. They couldn't even find a next of kin the next day, because Junior was found dead in a cell the next day. And, you know, as a team, we ministered to him and told him that God loved him and showed him God's love. And to have been there and to be able to do that was such a privilege. But, you know, Dr. Frank and the team were encouraged by that as well. And we just, the encouragement that gave to them as a team. And Dr. Frank says, I will keep praying for my patients, because, you know, over there they have so little, and over there life is so precious, but they've so little of the support that we have or of services that we have over here. So a lot of the time, it is just what they have on at hand. So the support that we were able to give to the team while we were there as a whole team, we just pray that that lives on in their hearts. And we just pray that as a church, that yous know that by us going, not only did we substantially, financially support the Imani Centre and the staff, but we also sowed spiritually into them, and we continue to keep contact with them, and Esther would be in regular contact. This was just to mention that a mum has a baby, and within 2 hours she's packed up and sent home, and they go home in the back of a Boda Boda back down into the slum. So it is very different to here, you know. It's a very difficult experience for the mums, but to see how they are so thankful for very little challenged me as well. So we, through the fundraising, we were able to give an amount of £8,000 to the centre. We also gave individual gifts to all the staff, as well as an amount of money. And we provided dinner for the staff, we had a barbecue with them, and we also provided school packs for the families. So the work that was done by the team is ongoing, and it still lives on through the staff there. And we just trust and pray that you'll keep praying for Diane, for the work that she does in very difficult circumstances, and the hearts that they have, and for Dr. Frank, that he would be continued, because, you know, they can feel forgotten. They work away in their wee clinic, and just they can feel very alone and very forgotten. So we keep that contact there to keep sowing into that and sharing God's love, and pray that they'll do that as well.
So I'm not sure you'll be able to spot me in this photo because I blend in so well. But this is us at the Kids Club at Pastor Paul's church. So me, Judith, Ollie, Samuel, Emma, Catherine, and my mum, Dion, were all part of the Kids Club. And I think the first 3 photos are all Pastor Paul's church. So it usually kind of was us doing songs, games, and then a story with the kids. The first day we did The Prodigal Son, and then the second day we did The Wordless Book, and as Alexander was saying, each of them got one. After the story, we would do a quiz, and it was usually between the boys and the girls, and they got really competitive. They really loved dancing and showing us songs. It was really nice kind of seeing their version of worship out there and how different it was to over here. At the end of the first day, we gave them some chocolate and a couple packets of Haribo. However, the conditions here weren't hygienic. There was one hole in the ground for the entire village, really, to use as a bathroom. And we constantly saw children running in and out of the wee hut in bare feet. However, it was a lovely community. I was reminded of the phrase, "It takes a village to raise a child," as everyone was looking after each other's babies and walking in and out of each other's homes. The two kids group leaders were really great with the kids and just had a heart for the work. The people loved taking pictures with us. And as you could see from the first three pictures, the group just kept on getting bigger and bigger because everyone was trying to join in. In another church we were in, there were a lot of orphans in the community, but the pastor had taken in a number of them into his home. Again, in this other church, they loved the quiz, but there was a bit more of a language barrier. Yet again, all the kids were so eager to take part. I remember after the service in that church, the pastor had invited us to his home for a meal. As we were reading, a group of boys walked past and they kept on looking at us. We offered them some of our food because we weren't really hungry. And it was really hard to see because the group of boys just kept on getting bigger and bigger as they all gathered around our plates of food that we weren't even going to eat. This next picture is a school building in the slums that we kind of came across. We were looking for kids to join the kids' club, and we were kind of wandering around the slums, and it felt a bit odd. But there was a head teacher called Sarah that we encountered, and she allowed all her kids to come out and take part in the club. It was very basic conditions in the school, but the teachers just had such good hearts for children. The next photo is a girl that we met in the slums. I just remember she really made an impact on me. She was not very old at all, and she wanted to dance and play with all the other kids, yet she had to look after and carry her little brother, who I'm pretty sure was just a newborn. However, with a lot of convincing, she allowed Jody to take care of the baby for her, so she could continue playing and dancing with the other kids, and it was really amazing seeing her come out of her shell, because she was so smiley and happy and involved. And it was just nice seeing her actually get to be a kid. The next photo was just kind of to show that the conditions these kids were in weren't good. The majority of the kids had no shoes. Some of them didn't have any trousers or pants. And it was really hard seeing children this age and younger climbing up and down piles of rubble and stones with jagged bits of metal sticking out. It was unsafe, and it just felt like there was no one looking out for them. I remember there was one child who had dried food around their face, and flies were constantly crawling in and out of their mouth and nose, even after me and Emma had tried wiping their face with a baby wipe. I don't think they were any older than two, and they didn't even notice the bugs. They were so smiley and just wanting to get involved. But it just hurt me knowing and leaving them, like, how had that much food built up? Why was there no one looking after that wee baby? And then having to leave the slums, knowing that we were kind of leaving the kids there. It was really tough. The next picture is just the river that Joel was talking about. And the smell was pretty indescribable. But again, it was just hard because you'd see kids running in it and you couldn't sit down on the ground, and it was just unhygienic and you just worried for them. Like, the next picture was us in the slums, and it was quite a nice picture. This is the last day just as we were leaving, and we were doing a craft with them. We'd got each of the kids a fizzy drink and a bag of sweets, and we'd split them into little groups. So we did two crafts with them. The first one was making sheep for the lost sheep story that Emma told. And then there was the little red hen story that Catherine had told them. The crafts were small and flimsy, and a lot of the kids over here would probably throw them out after church. But I remember the kids being so pleased and proud of themselves, and everyone came up to me showing their different crafts and the little smiley faces on their cupcake wrappers. I think they were just excited to own a belonging that they had made and that was theirs and theirs alone. This next picture was the walk into a Congolese church. This was a different area of the slums, and the children here seemed less eager to take part. There was no tent or chairs for the kids' club. They just sat on a mat outside the building, right next to some terrain tracks. I remember at a point whenever we were telling the story, one boy stood up off the mat, turned around, and started urinating because there's no facilities, no trousers, no nothing for them. And that was really hard to see. Here there was a little bit more of a language barrier because I think they spoke Swahili and our translator did not. We gave the pastor some school supplies to give all the children who go to his church. So he gave them out the Sunday after we had left. And this is just us leaving the Congolese church. We'd given out a lot of sweets to the kids, and I think we told them the lost sheep story, and then we'd done the same craft with them. There was extreme need in this area. It was really difficult leaving this day especially, as it would be our last time in the slums. It was hard leaving, knowing that we were going home to warm beds while they would still be here, and they are still out there. I think my favorite part of being in the kids' team was giving kids the opportunity to be kids, even if it was just for a day, and telling them that they were never alone and that they were loved by Jesus.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to be here with you. And just by way of starting off, a big thank you to everybody here in the church for your kind donations and your prayers to help the people out in Uganda. And I just want to say that your help here has definitely made a great difference to not only individual lives, but family lives as well out there. This was my first time out on a mission trip, and for me it was definitely an eye-opener. You heard some of the team talk about the various things we'd done over there, and it was amazing to be part of that. I think overall we had about 50,000 raised for the people out in Uganda, and you've heard of how we spent some of that money. I'm going to just say, before we actually decided how we were going to spend the money, everything went through the team, so the whole team was kept involved in what we were going to spend it all on. And not all of you were there with us, but can I say on behalf of the team, you did make a big difference to everybody, to the people out there in Uganda from home, from prayers to generous donations. A difference was made in family lives and individual lives out there. And Uganda is very different from Northern Ireland, and the need out there is far greater than it is here. Most things we have here, they aren't fortunate enough to have out there, and I think for me, personally, this was sad, and it was also an eye-opener. You know, most of us every morning we can come downstairs, turn the tap on, and get a nice glass of water to wake ourselves up, and something so small that we would maybe take for granted. But yet out there, they're not all blessed like that. They're and they all don't have that opportunity. But as you were able to see with Joyce, we were able to help a small community and family out there to have water as well. Words really can't explain how thankful the people out there were to you and your generous giving. But there was something for me something that we seen out there, which I think was better than money, and that was seeing many give their lives to Jesus out there. This encouraged me so much, and to see how happy friends and family were when people gave their lives to Jesus, even some from a Muslim background. God is definitely moving in the world, and we were testimonies of that there. You know, they may not have been a rich country, but they were definitely rich in the sense that they had so many churches and opportunities to hear the gospel. Out there in Uganda, there was no such thing as going by the clock. If you had church at 9 a.m. and it was meant to be finished at 3 o'clock, you were lucky if you were away at 5. They were just passionate about things of God and wanted to spend time with him. I'm sure being at church for long hours was something that many of us weren't used to, but we soon had to be. One thing that stood out to me whenever we were out there is that the need for salvation is worldwide. And, you know, I always knew that there, but being out there and being in the churches and seeing how some churches are ran, like, it, to me it was just so amazing that the same God that we have here in Northern Ireland is the same God in Uganda and the same God all around the world. And the need for salvation was great out there. We're such a fortunate country that we don't have to live like some of the people out there do. But yet when I look at some of the people out there, they're also on fire for God and want to know more about God. And our country here doesn't really care about the things of God anymore. It makes me wonder sometimes who really is richer then. And let that be an encouragement to us all here today. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." A mission trip doesn't need to be in some far-off country in Africa like Uganda. The mission field is right here in front of us all. And I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to everybody here, but there are people that we can come in contact with every day, and I wonder, when was the last time you talked to them about God? The need here is great for salvation as much as it is for out in Uganda. A couple of days before we left in June, I was uptown and some older man, we got stopped and we got talking for a brief wee while, and he wasn't a saved man. And so we started talking about, he told me what he believes and I told him what I believed. And I told him that we were going out to Uganda soon on a mission trip. And he stopped and looked at me, and he looked at me kind of funny, and I thought I'd said something wrong to him. And he said to me, "Well, that's good that you're all going out there to Uganda, but there's people here that need as much help as well and need Jesus as well." And this was an unsaved man telling me this here. This was an unsaved man telling me that their salvation needed in Northern Ireland as well. This tells me that maybe it's all in our heads that people don't want to hear about God. Maybe we're scared to go out and tell people about Jesus in case people think bad of us or people judge us or something. This was an unsaved man telling me this here. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9:37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Sometimes we can think that the harvest is few, but really that's not the truth. People are open to knowing Jesus, maybe even wanting to know Jesus. So let it be our goal as the church that we tell people about Jesus. We've seen God move in such a powerful way in Uganda. It was incredible just standing in some of the schools and seeing God move. You know, we were in Julius's school for 2 days, and just seeing the amount of people coming up and wanting to get right with God, it was something I've never seen before, to be honest with you. And it happened on multiple occasions whenever we were out there. And when I was preparing this here, there was one question going through my mind, and it was, why out in Uganda and not here back home? How come God moved in such a powerful way out there? Maybe sometimes, as the church, we can limit just how great and powerful God really is. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." God is able to do far more than we think is possible. See that person that you maybe work with or you see every day that you think is too far gone to know God. That's not true. Some people could have thought that was me 2 years ago, too far gone, but nothing's too impossible for our God. God can save anybody, and God wants to save everybody. So why not let God use you? Why not let God use us as a church to see more souls won for God? There's a whole community, a whole village out around there where souls are needed to won for Jesus. So this week, I want you to make it a goal for yourselves to talk to somebody you maybe have worked with for years, maybe somebody you've just ran across in the street, could be anybody. Just talk to them about Jesus and tell them about them, and don't let the devil try and scare you away from spreading the gospel. We're a blessed country in the worldly sense, but let us all together try and make it a better country in the spiritual sense. Let me just pray and then I'll hand it back over. Heavenly Father, We thank you, God, for the opportunity that we've had to come and share about our time out in Uganda, God. And Lord, we just want to keep them people out in Uganda in our prayers, God, and not forget about them, God. Lord, they were such an encouragement, God, to us as a team, God, and such a blessing, God. And Lord, we pray, God, that your hand will still be upon them, God, Lord. And the same God that we serve here back home in Northern Ireland, God, is the same God in Uganda. It's the same God in the world, God. So, Lord, we pray, God, that you'll be with them, God. And we also pray, God, that, Lord, you'll just stir something in our heart, God, to go down and or tell somebody, God, about the need of salvation, to tell somebody about your son, Jesus, God, because, like, the harvest is plentiful, God. So we do pray, God, that we'll see your spirit move, God, upon this here village, God, and across the whole island of Ireland, God. So, God, help us in all that we do, God, and go before us. Amen.
Praise God. Just before we close the meeting, we'll have tea and coffee at the back, so please feel free to stay. But as Andrew had said, and as the challenge came out, one question came to my heart, and I just want to share it with each one of you. Where is your mission field? Where is your mission field? You see, God doesn't just save us so we can sit back and just relax. The disciples didn't just sit back and relax, they followed him. And maybe for some of us tonight, that needs to be a change in our hearts. Where is your mission field? We have all been called, all been summoned, all been commissioned to share the good news. For those who went to Uganda, what a privilege that was. What an encouragement that is to each of us here tonight. But each of us have a mission field. Our families, our friends, our workplace, our unis, our schools. Are we telling people about Jesus, or are we just sitting there and expecting Jesus to do something? And maybe he will, praise God. The laborers are few, church. We are the laborers. And let us go out and proclaim the news. Where is your mission field? Let us just pray as we end our service. Dear God, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for each and every single person who sacrificed to get to Uganda. Lord, we pray a blessing upon that sacrifice for each and every single one of them. Whether that was a financial sacrifice, a time sacrifice, a family sacrifice, God, we want to pray as a church a blessing upon each and every single person who went in the name of the Lord. God, we pray, Lord, that memories will never be forgotten, Lord. And we pray for the work that happened. We pray for the work that is still happening, Lord. And God, we just pray, Lord, for a blessing upon all of the work in Uganda. But Lord, we pray for our mission field here. We pray for the places where we work. We pray for our family. We pray for our friends. We pray for the universities that we go to, Lord. And God, may you pierce our hearts with that question. Where is our mission field? And where are we serving God? Lord, as we leave this place, may we leave pondering that question. But may we leave knowing that the Spirit goes with us to help us, to encourage us, and to enable us to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Lord, may you bless each of us tonight as we stay for coffee and for fellowship, to speak to one another and to encourage one another for the glory and for the goodness of God. In your name, and we all pray, amen. Amen. God bless.